Welcome back to the Gamer Heroes Podcast, episode number 5. I'm your host, John. I've got my man, Derek.
Yo, what's up, guys? David is typing up a storm.
Typing up a storm?
And David.
Hi!
So guys, let's talk a little bit right here. What did we discuss in episode 4?
Well, we talked Resident Evil 7 and mobile gaming.
It was a good topic. It was a great time. But what are we talking about today? Because that's all that matters. We live in the now.
Do we? I mean, I want people to listen to our old episodes. Come on, man.
No, man. We're all about modern. Speaking of modern, what kind of modern things are we talking about today? handheld gaming. I can only hand feed you guys for so long.
No, it's fine, dude. We're talking modern handheld gaming, right?
That's right. Yes, before we even start into modern handheld gaming, let's talk about today's news, because the news is today and it's modern. So what do we got going on, my main man, David? What's up?
Castlevania getting a Netflix series is what I just heard. That just came to me. I didn't read it off of anything.
Okay. It came to you, the Netflix vibe.
It just came to me.
Vibe.
He woke up. Castlevania. It was a dream.
Yeah. Castlevania is getting a Netflix series. Yes, okay. It does.
What other details you got about that?
Well, not a whole lot of details, just that we know that it's going to be a Netflix series, which means it should probably be amazing. Maybe not as amazing as if it was on the CW. I'm a CW guy personally. I love the CW. I think it would be great if they did a Castlevania series. That's humor. That's humor. And so, yeah, there's that. And I think it'll be pretty cool. Not sure if it's going to be animated or live action. I hope it'll be animated.
Animated is what they're slating for. Yeah, that's what they're talking about. I'm personally excited because Netflix, as you know, is kind of more liberal, and they let the artists and the developers or creators just really, really do what they want to do and be creative with the show without having the strings attached. That kind of reminds me of Stranger Things. You know, they pitched that to 30 different networks before Netflix picked it up because, you know, they have the creative freedom, and those other networks try to steer the show in weird directions and tell them what to do. So to see this show even be created in the 80s era that it should be is going to be really cool. It looks like they're trying to compete with Game of Thrones. That's at least what they said. They said they want to be the next Game of Thrones.
Well, here's the thing. I think too many places or too many companies get lost in trying to be the next of X, which instead of that, they just need to focus on, the things that make them different and good. And I think that'll actually, improve it. If they're too worried about trying to be, as deep as Game of Thrones is, and Game of Thrones had plenty of flaws, then I don't know that it's going to work out as well. I think they just need to focus on being Castlevania. Personally,
well, the thing that I remember the most is Castlevania was R-rated as fuck, and I hope they really stick to that. I hope they go all out, be gory, do some crazy shit. I want to see some goblins tear some people up. I want to see some crazy stuff. So I think with an animated series, you're going to be able to do that because it's a little more budget friendly, and on top of that, I mean, you can really just put out, you can put the prettiest picture, I mean, you can paint the prettiest picture, I should say, for a show like that in animated.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, here's the thing, I'd love for it to be an anime style, but I also worry if it is an anime style, that it'll probably get lost in all the other vampire anime style shows that are out there, so maybe that should be something they hold back on and they just kind of do their own artistic approach to it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Voltron's been very successful for Netflix. So I think that style of animation isn't really an issue, but it'd be a huge budget saver to go that route. Doing live action like Game of Thrones is very expensive.
Well, we know from the other Netflix shows, budget's not really a problem. They blow it out of the water. The Crown, I don't know if you guys watched it on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, follows Queen Elizabeth. It is one of the most expensive shows ever made because of the costumes, the sets. They shot on live on set in Africa, in different parts of the country. Actually, in the... what is her... Oh, gosh, I'm drawing a blank here. What is the castle or the place that she stays in? Buckingham Palace. Thank you. So they actually shot in Buckingham
You're
Palace.
You're welcome.
So I'm just saying budget's probably not an issue, but I think for the creative... I guess the 80s vibe. You gotta go animated. I feel that's the way to go.
What makes you think it's gonna be an 80s vibe? Just because the franchise was created in the 80s?
Absolutely. I think it only makes sense to go that route. Stranger Things kind of hit a niche market by going that route.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. But I mean it's the franchise was created in 86, but they've come out with games every year, every other year, you know, for the last almost, you know, the last 30 years. I mean, we had games as recently as 2015, 2014. So I'm not sure it needs to be an 80s style, whereas, you know, Stranger Things kind of depends on it.
I guess I'm saying more, I hope it's an 80s style.
You hope it's an 80s style. Fair enough. That's fine. Yeah. I don't have any problem with that. I think an 80s style would be cool. I was just curious why you thought they might go that route.
Oh yeah, I just felt like the Stranger Things hit that market niche, and let's be honest, most of the people that played this game in the prime were 90s and 80s kids, or adults. But I feel like if you really want to appeal to them, that's kind of why I feel like it should be that way. Is because you really want to appeal to them, you want them to be set back in this retro game, you want them to feel the retro vibe. You got to go all the way with it. I feel like Voltron, as you mentioned earlier, it still had a lot of elements of the old cartoon, just updated. And that, I think that was part of its charm.
That's fair. No, I think that's definitely fair. Voltron definitely looks like Voltron. There's no question about it. The graphics Absolutely. Are better, but it's still stylistically very similar. So.
Definitely, definitely. I'm going to switch gears here, guys. I'm going to go to sixth gear here. What do we got going on with Nintendo today? Or at least this week.
Nothing super exciting. So we missed last week. So there's been a 2 week span since we talked last.
Those assholes. Why would we do that?
That was us. That was our decision, you know. But so a couple things happened. First off, the Wii U has officially ended production.
You beat me so much better at it too.
There's still one more. First party title, which is of course Zelda Breath of the Wild, that's going to be released for the Wii U, and then that's it as far as first party titles are concerned. I'm sure we'll still see a few things here and there from other developers, but the Wii U is officially done from that standpoint, production wise. Still plans to be supported for a while, so those who have it, like me, are not going to be left in the dark or anything like that, and it is unique enough that most of those games are not going to be seen on the Switch, at least anytime soon. So don't just go and toss the Wii out the Wii U out the window. It's still a unique console. You're not
it's
really going to...
That's what it's meant for, right? Isn't that
what that's what I do with all my old consoles. I literally just open up a window and throw them out, you know? You know that Mr. Lady? I think I killed her.
Yeah, to each his own, you know, do what you got to do. I'm going to hold on to my Wii U for now, at least.
You know. He's gonna hold on to his Wii. You. Wow, that was really bad. Sorry.
And the other big thing is just, you know, more Nintendo Switch stuff. They released a new infographic of the Joy-Cons in intense detail. We're actually gonna be posting that on Instagram, so check that out at Heroes Podcasts. And it's really quite detailed. They've said that it's a stripped down console. It is a gaming console, so there is no web browser, which for some reason pisses off a lot of people. I don't know about you guys,
but it's gimmicky, man. It's gimmicky. Yeah. Who actually does that?
Web?
Yeah. When you have a perfectly fine phone in your hand.
Well, now that they've got YouTube as a like an app on most of these consoles, I don't feel that I necessarily need to, you know, hit up the old WWW on my PlayStation. But I mean, it was kind of nice, you know, if you wanted to be able to look at things on the screen. I think it was probably not a huge feature that was really worth doing.
You just wanted to look at naked pictures. We know. You don't have to. You don't have to sugarcoat it.
I've got a computer for that.
But that's kind of my thought, is people are upset that this is a stripped down console, so that they don't have plans, at least at launch, for things like Netflix and Hulu. But I don't know about you guys. I have devices for that. I've got a Kindle Fire TV and a Chromecast and an Xbox One and a PS4. And, you know, the TVs have those apps now built in too. Does the Switch need that?
No, I think people are just trying to find something to complain about because it's so different. It has already so many features that are so unique and different that people. I know it's bad, but I really think there are some saboteurs out there that are trying to just, oh, this is a problem. They also don't even have an online, they won't have anything set up for online either at launch. So, I mean, if you're going to complain about Netflix, you should be complaining about the whole online setup.
Well, I mean, we don't really know what the Nintendo Online is going to really be like, especially at launch. You know, it comes with literally zero pre-installed software, so no apps, no demos of games. It is going to be a clean slate that you get to just set up what you want to set up. For all we know, on launch, there may not be any of that online content available.
I honestly worry about that. I worry that people are so used to getting a prepackaged bloatware console, if you will, that they're gonna get this and they're gonna think, wow, this is really unpolished and unfinished and got rushed out, and then people are gonna talk smack about it and it's gonna impact things. I get where people are coming from. These are consoles. These are not meant to be, you know, browsers and all that other stuff. But if that's what people have come to expect, then there needs to be a little bit of you know, at least looking after what people are going to want to have. You know, you're going to have to, at least, even if you think, oh, we're a game provider, we're not a browser provider, this is not used for that, maybe, but that's kind of what everybody else is doing right now too. So if you want to compete, you have to show that you've got all the features and all the extra, you know, glam, and they don't necessarily have to have that, you know, have all of it, but they need to at least show that it's not just going to be, here's a blank thing, put a cartridge in it and have fun.
I disagree with you, man.
PlayStation was like that, though. I mean,
yeah, I was just about to say that. The PS4 only came with basic things that were all PlayStation related, and then everything else is showcased, but you have to go download it.
It's really just the Xbox One, which Microsoft positioned as an entertainment console because, I mean, you know, I run my DVR through my Xbox. It's designed. I use my Xbox more for entertainment media than I do for video games.
Right, but are they saying these things are going to be able to be downloaded like apps, or that it's just not going to be available at all?
So that's the question mark.
We don't know. Yeah,
that's the question mark. They've made it sound like things like Netflix and Hulu are not going to be considered right now. They might be down the road, but right now that's not their focus. Their focus is pure gaming. And maybe that will be a detriment. Maybe people will say, well, I don't want a Switch and a Roku, right? Because, you know, I've been in the streaming world for quite some time. I already have those devices. Anything I buy now is just in addition to those.
Right.
But not everybody's in that position. Some people have never been on the streaming game, or they're new to it, or they're swapping out their Wii or Wii U for a Switch, and so they need those things. Mm-hmm. That will kind of have to wait to be seen.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, man. That's a really good point. if you're switching, switch. If you're switching consoles, yeah, having those features are nice and probably necessary. But like you had mentioned, there are so many other devices that we own on a day-to-day basis that is able to, you know, download Netflix and play stream music and movies. So I think starting out with the clean slate is probably not a bad idea. We know Nintendo has the capability of creating those apps because they did on the Wii, and the Wii is probably the dumbest system to even play Netflix on. I don't know if you've ever tried it. The interface is quite weak.
Yeah. It's old though. I mean, you have to keep in mind it's basically 10-year-old technology.
Yeah, and it's still and they were still able to create an app for that. Like, I feel with something that has the latest technology, it's probably easier. So it's probably something down the road to be looking at, to be looking for, I should say. It's going to happen. I just don't think they want to do it immediately. Like I said, their online setup won't even be ready. They're still working on it at release.
Right, which is why it will be free for at least several months. They're not going to start charging for it until the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah, so. That's great. I appreciate that. That's the longest trial I've ever seen on an online gaming. The question is, how well will that online, that free, whatever they have set up so far, how well will that function?
Yeah.
So a lot of functions are actually going to be features, I say, not functions. Features are going to be omitted until the holiday season when you actually are paying for it. So my main concern is the eShop and the downloadable games.
Those yeah, virtual console is huge.
Yes. Those are my main concerns. But you know what, guys? We can talk about Nintendo all day. I want to talk about something else.
All right, so real quick, the last piece of news I wanted to mention was that, for those who are interested, South Park, The Fractured Butthole, is delayed yet again.
Again?
Which is really bad news at this point. This game has been delayed. You know, it was supposed to come out, and I believe it was like August or September of 2016. Yes. It was now supposed to be released at the end of March 2017. And now the date is sometime in their 2017 fiscal year, which is not a calendar year for those who are not aware. It starts in April, which means that technically this game could come out in 2018.
Oh, God, it sounds like a Duke Nukem Forever fiasco. Please, God, say no.
I mean, as somebody who's played Stick of Truth and loves Stick of Truth, I was really looking forward to this, and the only reason I haven't pre-ordered it was because of the original delay, and I feel kind of justified now, vindicated, if you will, because it's been delayed again.
Gosh. Yeah, that's not looking very good for that game. Thankfully, it's not like hardcore mechanics. It's not an intricate game setup, so...
So then what's the delay, right? What's holding it back?
I can only imagine it has something to do with... there's probably developers handing off licenses, etc., etc. I have no idea, honestly. Like all I can say is what happened with Duke Nukem Forever, it was developed in 2008, right? It got sold, the company went under, and then other people picked it up, and other people dropped it, and it just it got passed around. I want to say that that's happening here, but...
No, it's all been... Was it Ubisoft who owns?
Yeah.
You know, but I imagine it's got to be some development problem. Maybe they're running into a technical issue, or people are not receiving the story well. Because I got to think at this point, they're, you know, less than 2 months from their release date, you know, 6-7 weeks from their release date, and they're delaying it with no date in mind.
Like almost a year, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. I mean, it could come out in April. It could come out in May. They don't know. They just said 2017 fiscal year, which starts in April and goes until March of next year. So will it be March next year? I doubt it, but it could be June or July. So,
yeah, that's unfortunate, honestly. You would, like you said, you would think at this point they would have their act together a month before the projected release date.
Right.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Someone died. Tell me about that.
It's a little bit old news now, but still worth noting. Nakamura, the founder of Namco back in 1955, he passed away. He was 91, so this is something that's, you know, still very sad, of course, but not super shocking to people who are familiar with who he is. But most well known for, the man is the father of Pac-Man.
Well, I was going to say the movie Pixels.
No.
Did you guys see that movie? It was terrible. No, it was terrible.
He is the father of Pac-Man, which to this day holds the Guinness Book World Record as the most successful coin-operated game of all time, which, you know, arcade games used to take coins. Nowadays, you get free wristbands to play them and things like that. But Pac-Man was it. That was the most popular game, you know. The tabletop Pac-Man is still one of the most sought-after arcade games out there. You know, maybe, you know, Tron might be up there too, but this is like the big holy grail. So, you know, it's a big deal, and he's been a cornerstone of the video game world since 1955. So it's sad to see him go, but 91's pretty good. I you know, I'd be happy to make it that long.
Yeah, that's it's unfortunate, but you're right. I mean, has he really made much in his later years? Are you familiar?
You know, I don't know what he personally had his hand in, to be honest with you, so I can't speak to it.
I feel like he hit his plateau with that, right? He was like, Pac-Man's it, man.
No, he did a lot, you know, prior to the 2000s, you know, and maybe when he reached 80, you know, he slowed things down, but, you know, he had a very close relationship with Nintendo, and they even, you know, tweeted about it and things like that, so... He had a pretty long and impressive career. That's for sure.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Wow. That was a very nice tribute and very true.
All right. Well, you guys want to just
let's segue.
jump into our main topic for the week as we're like 20 minutes in.
Go for it, man. Kick us off. All
right. So last week we talked mobile gaming, which is smartphones and tablet gaming, things like Candy Crush and Pokemon Go and Clash of Clans, you know, that type of stuff. If you're curious what we really love to play, go to heroespodcast.com, and we have an article there that shows each of our top five favorite mobile games. Some are free, some are free to play, some are premium.
Clash of Clans, you?
What?
I said Clash of Clans.
Yeah, that was on your, not on my list. Not on my list.
Well, it was fun, okay? You just don't know.
but this week we're talking handheld gaming, which is different. Who wants to take that? Why is it different from mobile gaming?
My man David, get on it.
Well, I think it's kind of evident, you know, with the mobile gaming, you're not really looking at cartridges, you're not looking at a wide assortment of games from big name people. I mean, you've got a lot of you know, kind of indie companies going out there do a lot of the mobile gaming stuff. Handheld gaming is where you're going to get into all your classics that have been turned into a way to play them on the go. So, you know, your Marios, your Zeldas, your things like that. I think that that's probably the biggest difference. I mean, both you could technically play on the go. They're both mobile. But when it comes down to it, you're really looking at you know, what sort of titles you could expect, what sort of extra features you could expect. The complexity of the game is usually going to be a little bit better on something that's an actual handheld game, because the device itself could be made and engineered specifically for gaming, as opposed to also being a cell phone. They really have a limited scope of what they could kind of let you do, though they're getting pretty inventive with it. So that's the main difference between them.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. I mean, it's the difference between a dedicated gaming console to play games on versus a phone, tablet, mobile computer, essentially, that also has some games.
Right. Yep, totally. You know,
the other thing I would point out is that mobile games tend to, there's always exceptions, right? But they tend to require touchscreen controls or motion controls, whereas handheld games tend to still be physical controller based.
Right.
So that would be another distinction I would make.
What's your guys' favorite line from those consoles? You guys mentioned a lot of things: the DS, the DSi, the 3DS, the new DS, and the 2DS.
Well, I mean, you know, it's basically there's two flavors. You've got Nintendo and you've
chocolate
got
and vanilla. Those are the only two flavors, man.
That's it. That's all you get. You know, Sony's got their PSP, PS Vita, what have you, and then Nintendo has their DS and 3DS line. Those are your two choices, and that's pretty much it, with very few, you know, small player exceptions. As people know, I'm a Nintendo guy, so I've had I have had a DSi, a 3DS, 3DS XL, and now a new 3DS. So that's me. I'm the Nintendo guy here. What about you guys?
Yeah, I got a new 3DS. Granted, now this is really kind of one of the first handhelds I've had since, you know, the old Game Boys back in the day.
Advanced. Yep.
But you know, for me, I like Nintendo stuff a lot more. I think Sony, you know, I think that the Sony handhelds were an awesome attempt. I think that Sony has a lot of good things going. I don't think they probably picked up as much as they should, and they're probably a little underappreciated for what their capabilities are. But for me, you know, if I'm going to pick up something to go, I like it kind of light. I don't like it to be super involved. So I like being able to do my Marios and my, you know, my Zeldas and stuff like that with me in my handheld. I feel like it is the way to go. So I'm Nintendo as well. And I know that they've got the new, so it's a 2DS, but it doesn't fold in half, so it doesn't go compact like the others. But it's a 2DS, and it plays all the 3DS games without any of the 3D graphics. But it's also like $80, so it's a lot more affordable to get your hands on for somebody that wants to get one. I know my fiance really wants one, so
I actually bought one, David. I like it a lot, man. I use it a lot. It's actually, I find it very durable. I mean, I've thrown this in bags. I've thrown that bag around. I mean, it's actually quite durable. And although the screen's a little bit smaller, that's a little frustrating. It's a very affordable way to get your hands on it, like you said. I personally like it. The ergonomics of the actual shape of it is quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to say I got that 2DS, and that kind of got me hooked.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I think that right now, and this is just my personal opinion, I think $200 for a new 3DS XL is pretty pricey. That's what I've got. I think it's still pretty pricey. I think that's a price point that should be lowered, but it's not. And I think that being able to get, you know, for $80 something that you can still play all those games on and just kind of have to sacrifice the 3D aspect of it, that's not bad, especially for people who kind of get sick. I don't know if you've played the 3DS, but if you don't catch it at the right angle, sometimes it can do a trick with your eyes and make you a little nauseous. So, yeah, I think it's a good way to get in.
I do want to point out that the 2DS does not play all of the games. It's important to note that there are some exceptions also in the Virtual Console. So there's a few games. Part of the reason the new 3DS is a thing is an improved processor and graphics, GPU. There are some games, for example, Super Street Fighter 2 in the Virtual Console does not play on the 2DS. You can't install it on the 2DS. You can.
Now, are we talking about the same thing? Because I'm talking about the one that doesn't fold, and yes, it's labeled to play.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Because it does play 3DS games. However, there's a couple games like Xenoblade Chronicles, for example, that you need the new 3DS to play.
It actually says that on some of the games. Like, I'll give you an example. This weekend, I was trying to download, was it Mario Land, Derek?
Super Mario World.
And I was looking through it, and I'm going, what the hell? It's 3DS. It's available to me. And in a very small print at the bottom of the screen, it said, only available for the new 3DS. It actually said new 3DS.
So, and I guess it's Super Nintendo games is for the Virtual Console is the big thing, that it has trouble handling those graphics, and games like Xenoblade Chronicles, for example. So it's a minor thing. It still plays most of the games, going all the way back to the original DS games. So it's still a vast library for $80, but it's just something I wanted to point out. So one thing I do want to know, because, you know, the three of us are Nintendo DS people in some capacity. Have you guys ever owned a PSP or a PS Vita?
I did. I owned the PSP, the original one. And yeah. I loved it at the time because the only handheld game that I had played, I played the Game Boy Advance, the Game Boy Color in between that, then the Game Boy Advanced. And that, it was an upgrade for me, because that was when the PlayStation, the PSP first came out, and I was like, holy crap, this is so cool, the graphics are amazing, it plays movies. But looking back on it now, as as I've had more experience and I've gotten to see the differences, it was a little too complicated, number one, and number two, the discs. Why are we playing everything on little discs?
Yeah.
They skipped. You know that? They skipped. They scratched. It was sure they were in there like this little half cartridge thing, but a clear little cartridge with a disc in it. It still was kind of a step backwards for me. I never could understand why they decided to do that.
I mean, the big thing for them was movies. When the PSP first came out, it actually had like a full movie library.
Yeah.
You could buy these UHD discs. I guess that's redundant, but these UHDs to play big blockbuster films. And I think that's why they went the disc route, because at the time you weren't going to put those movies on a cartridge.
Or you couldn't.
You know? I don't know if you couldn't do it, but they weren't doing it. Nobody was doing that. Maybe it was a DRM issue. Maybe it was a technical limit. I find that hard to believe because, you know, the games that are going on the DS are you know, sophisticated games. So I'm not sure that it's a technical limitation. I think it may have been a DRM issue.
I totally think it was a stylistic choice. You know, PlayStation pioneered discs, and I feel like they wanted to kind of do the half thing. You know, they're like, we kind of have a cartridge, but there's still a disc. I don't know. You're totally right. It could be based on. I don't think it's technological issues or some kind of roadblocks, but yeah, you're totally right. It could be some kind of block in coding or manufacturing on that aspect.
Yeah, you know, from a sales perspective, it's a little interesting because so if you take the DS line and the 3DS line, which they do differentiate, you're looking at over 210 million units shipped. Basically up until last year, last March, give or take.
That's impressive.
It's a pretty big number. When you look at the Vita and the PSP, you know, things are a little bit different. You know, you've got trying to do some quick math here in my head. Between the two, you're looking at maybe 150. And I'm just doing some quick numbers off the top of my head, so you know, so there's some rounding there, but maybe 150. So while Nintendo definitely is winning that battle, 150 million units is really nothing to sneeze at. It's still a lot.
But it's been out a lot longer. Do you think maybe?
I mean, not so much. I mean, if you take the original DS line went on sale in 2004, the PSP didn't go on sale until 2007, I think.
Wow.
I'm trying to remember the original PSP here. No, maybe it's older than that. It actually might be older than that. 2004.
I thought it was, because I went straight from Advance to that.
2004. So they both came out the same year, about a month apart from each other. So now there's been multiple DSs, right? Between the DS, the DSi, the 3DS, the new 3DS, the 2DS. There are people out there that have bought five different DS consoles, whereas you only had two for Sony. So I'm not sure it's a fair direct comparison.
Why do you think the sales? Do you think? See, this is just my I'm going to put that out there. My opinion. I always felt PlayStation has always been the serious system. Do you think, and if you look at it historically, some of the games that were available on the PSP and the Vita were more adult games. Metal Gear Solid, SOCOM, these kind of games were geared towards adults. Do you think maybe that had something to do with the sales not being as high? Is that children, you know, parents, grandparents, they were purchasing DSs for their children because children, for some reason, like to play games on the go all the time and adults don't, you know?
That's a good question. I think that might play into it. I would think that the multiple releases of the DSs would play a larger role in that because you're always upgrading.
Yeah.
You know, the DSi had different functionality than the DS, and you know, obviously the 3DS, and then the new 3DS adds, you know, the Smash Stick and a better GPU, and there are people out there that kept upgrading, whereas, you know, the Sony fans, yeah, you could go from the PSP to the Vita. I'm not sure that the difference was that drastic.
Screen size and processor was really the only difference.
Right. Whereas with the DS, you know, there's all these incremental changes. So I think that you'd have to strip that away a little bit, which may not even be possible to know who out there has had multiples. Because for me, like I said, I've had four. I've had four different DS consoles myself, between the DSi, the original 3DS, a 3DS XL, and now a new 3DS XL. You know, so if I count as four, you know, how many of me are there, you know, out there to kind of conflate Nintendo's numbers to give them that push of another 50 or 60 million units?
That's a fair point. What do you, with the release of the Switch, what do you anticipate? You're going to see a decrease in the DS. It is significantly cheaper, but not really. Like you said, David, you just picked one up. It was $299. What was the price on that?
$199.
So we're talking about a $100 difference here. That's nothing to sneeze at. But
it is the that's the big one, right? Because right now there's mm-hmm. three DSs you can buy. You've got the top of the line, which is the new 3DS XL. There's the new 3DS, but then they also still have the 3DS for sale. And then the 2DS. So I guess there's actually four now I walk through it, that are all different levels. So if you don't want to shell out the $200, which I totally understand, you know, there are cheaper options. I went with the XL simply because I don't really have great eyes, and I wanted the larger screens.
I think you have beautiful eyes.
Oh, thank you, dude. I never use the 3D feature at all. Once in a blue moon, I'll turn it on just to see if a game is leveraging it well, but I never play with it.
It's gimmicky, in my opinion. So,
well, you know, that's a personal preference thing. For me, I have some weird vision. I have keratoconus, which is an eye disorder, and I have double vision. And so 3D is a little bit straining for me.
That double vision.
I do. It's crazy stuff. So for me, like, 3D is just not as important for me. I know a lot of people really like it, and the new 3DS has improved 3D over the original 3DS. So I think that people will still buy the DS line as long as they keep putting out games and good games for the DS line. If they continue to put out major titles like Fire Emblem and Mario and Zelda and Pokemon and Animal Crossing, you know, these consoles will continue to sell like hotcakes. At Black Friday 2016, they put out two regular 3DSs, a black one and a white one, both Mario themed, for $99, and they sold out instantly. You know, like nobody had seen one before. And don't get me wrong, I actually thought about picking one up until I realized it was a regular 3DS, not a new 3DS. Because
I thought it was that they were the new, but they weren't the XLs.
Ah, my mistake, my bad. That there was some reason that I just.
Yeah, no, you and I talked about that because I was right there with you. Not only that, but they were stylized. They look really fucking cool.
They were, beautiful consoles. And then again, they put out a Pikachu 3DS just like a couple weeks ago, and those those sold out like instantly too. You know,
they always kill it with that.
Yeah, and you know, there was the Galaxy version that was really pretty that everybody liked, and the Pokemon Sun and Moon editions. So, you know, I mean, it's very, very popular. And you don't really get that from Sony. Sony is very, this is the PS Vita. We have it. You can buy it. And these are the games. And, you know, you don't hear about, like, here's a blue one and a yellow one. And here's one right. with Final Fantasy all over it or something. They don't do that. That's not what Sony has done. But they do that with the PS4. So it's more like they want to have a mobile option. They want to have the handheld console, but their focus is really PlayStation. It's the PS4, it's the PS4 Pro, and it's, you know, focusing on beating out the Xbox One.
Right. One thing I do want to add into the mix of that is, for the longest time, at least when the beginning release of PlayStation 4, they were using PS Vita, or at least they pitched it in a way where it was like, you can use your PS Vita now as a controller. You can control your PlayStation from your Vita. They actually did that. Do you remember that?
It was something that they actually followed through on that Nintendo had only talked about, because the Wii U, you were supposed to be able to use your 3DS as a controller.
Right.
And that never happened.
That's so interesting.
It's actually part of why I was an early adopter for the 3DS. I was really excited for how they were trying to leverage that console, and when the Wii U was getting ready to come out and they were talking about that, you know, I was even more interested in upgrading my 3DS into, an XL. So that never happened, and that was disappointing. So the fact that Sony followed through on it is pretty cool when you think about the fact that that actually worked. Now, I don't have one, so I never tested that functionality on my PS4. So I can't say whether or not it worked.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The game selection just wasn't great on the PlayStation Vita. They had one of the Uncharted games, and I thought that was cool. But honestly, there really was like no more than 10 or 15 titles, maybe 20 titles total, that were even remotely interesting. Which kind of segues into the Switch at the current moment. And there are a lot of titles, don't get me wrong, but a lot of them we're waiting for. And I will keep saying this at every podcast. God damn it, Mario Galaxy does not need to be in freaking... Sorry.
You mean Odyssey? You mean Mario Odyssey?
Yes, Odyssey. Sorry, I was looking at all these Mario games over the weekend.
It makes total sense because Nintendo historically doesn't like to release Mario and Zelda games together. They like to spread those out because those are their keys. I mean, people have to remember that Nintendo is still around because of their IP. That's the truth.
So does it own like, Mario, like another
they
release?
Own Zelda and Donkey Kong. What?
I said, well, why do we still have to wait till Christmas? Why can't we just do this like at the beginning of fall?
Because, well, and they said holiday, so we don't know exactly when that will be. I imagine it'll be a November release. Nintendo is very big on November releases. That's my bet. Would actually be the third week in November. So I'm throwing that out there now. But, the reality of it is they like to space out their big stuff. And what you're going to see is you're going to see Zelda, which has been used to launch the Wii, which has been Nintendo's probably most successful console since, the Super Nintendo. They launched Twilight Princess with the Wii. And then they're going to have Splatoon over the summer, Splatoon 2. And Splatoon is probably, the, if not the second most popular game on the Wii U behind maybe Mario Kart 8. And that, of course, is coming in April. So basically, they're hitting their three big hitters in the first 4 months.
If you look at it that way, that's actually a very good point.
And then they want people then who haven't, if you didn't buy the Switch at launch, they want you to buy it for the holidays, right?
Well, they'll do
and
a bundle. So, yeah.
So if they do that, if they want you to buy it for the holidays, they need games. So they need new games. Because if you didn't buy it for Zelda or Mario Kart or Splatoon and you're waiting for something else, what's it going to be? Go buy it with Mario. And so that's why there's going to be a gap between June, July, and then November for Mario. You're going to see that. Now, Skyrim may come out before there, somewhere in that gap. But we're kind of now off on a Switch tangent, so let's take it back to the handhelds.
Well, let's talk about some of the games on the handhelds that you guys mentioned a couple of them that you were really interested in. What do you like? What do you like to play? What are the games for the 3DS? We all play DS here. Tell me what you guys like.
David, you want to take that one?
Yeah, man, you've been too quiet.
Sorry, I've got a cold, which is I'm muting myself sometimes so I don't cough. I've always been a Zelda guy, so that isn't a surprise to say that Zelda is one thing I love. In fact, that was the reason I got the 3DS, is I was considering ways that I could play the most of my favorite Zelda games and throw back and play, the stuff that was old as well as the stuff that is new. So there's that. I'm interested in trying Mario Kart. I don't know how I would feel about it on the 3DS, but I've never played it on the 3DS, so that could be pretty cool. I also like platformers quite a lot, so probably going to hit up some of the other Mario games. I've got Luigi's Haunted Mansion, but I haven't tried it yet. I hear it's
fantastic.
Have
you played Dark Moon? Dark Moon?
No, I haven't played that yet.
Oh, no. If you play Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon, oh, man, that's my favorite game. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's my favorite
game.
Maybe that's the one I meant.
I can't remember.
So good.
Yeah, well, the original is a GameCube game. So the Dark Moon, it just came into Nintendo Select, so you can pick it up new for $19.99 now.
Nice.
do what I did and buy the regular version used at GameStop for like $23 because you're an idiot.
or as Derek likes to say, because I've got a problem.
I just have bad timing, man. I bought it used at GameStop and 2 weeks later it moved to Nintendo Select, so it dropped $15. And I was like, damn it. But no, really cool game. I'm early on in that one. But for me, so many great games on the 3DS. Zelda A Link Between Worlds is awesome. I've never been the biggest Zelda fan, but that game is great. So if it's, you know, any indication of the type of attention they're giving Breath of the Wild, it's going to be awesome. So definitely recommend A Link Between Worlds. Something that's not Nintendo specific, but is still an amazing game, is Shovel Knight, which is an indie title. Old classic, you know, 8-bit style graphics. They take advantage of all the old tricks of, you know, jumping above the level and whatnot. Soundtrack's cool. Great. Another indie title would be SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Heist. They're from Image Inform, which is a small indie company. Yacht Club Games did Shovel Knight, but Image Inform do the SteamWorld games, and they're just two of my favorite games that I've ever played. Then, of course, you have the big titles, right? You've got all the Pokemons, you know, Pokemon Sun and Moon, Alpha Sapphire, you know, and Omega Ruby are great. So, you know, there's tons of Pokemon games. They've got the original three on the eShop now. You can pick up for $10 a piece, Red, Blue, and Yellow. You can get some really cool 64 titles that they remastered for 3D. So there's, like, Star Fox 3D, which is pretty cool. That game has been just so much fun. It's Star Fox 64. It is really great. So I would highly recommend that. They did Ocarina of Time as well. So if you missed playing it on the 64 or somehow didn't get around to playing it, you can go ahead and pick it up there. So that's just a few that I would throw out.
That's a good list, man. That's totally – that's a lot. For me, personally, when I bought my 2DS, it came with Mario Kart 7. That was part of the reason I bought it. Mario Kart 7 is awesome. Up until this point, that was my favorite game that I had been playing on the DS. It's got everything you liked in all the other Mario Kart games. Not that there was that many, but yeah, it was awesome. And recently, based on what I've been looking at, a lot of games on the shop, I've been getting the Nintendo fever, should say. And I picked up Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, like you mentioned, David. It's it is awesome. I love it. It's like Ghostbusters meets it's totally a Mario game, but it feels very Ghostbuster-y. It's really fun the way you use the I believe they called it, what was it called, the something 5000. I've played to about the 6th or 7th mission. I only got a couple more to go. It's awesome. Graphics are surprisingly really, really good for a DS system, and the mechanics are really nice. have you had a chance to actually play it?
No, not yet. I haven't cracked it yet. I'm one of those guys that when I get it, I want to try and complete whatever I got. So I was doing Link Between Worlds primarily, and that is what I was focused on. So that's kind of still where I am with it. Admittedly, I've gotten kind of busy, so I haven't had a lot of time to pick mine up in the meantime. But I've got that. I've got Star Fox, like he mentioned. I picked that one up, too, because I was an old Star Fox fan for sure. So, yeah. I think all those are solid games. Let's see here. Yeah, but well, no, I mean, go ahead.
No, man. I was just going to build upon that. I was going to say, Star Fox is always a solid option. I like going back. I like exploring the eShop and kind of just seeing how old they go. For instance, Mega Man. If you pick up the Mega Man collection or Legacy 7, oh, yeah.
Good setup. Well, those were on sale here recently, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So, and that's kind of what I like about the eShop is that it lets you be able to pick up some stuff without necessarily having to go to GameStop. And, of course, we've all heard recently about GameStop's kind of wonkiness. But, you know, one of the things that I like is that the 3DS, they're not really looking to replace it anytime soon. So I don't feel like it's a wasted investment to get into it. I think that, you know, the idea of the Switch is cool. I'm a little bummed because I already bought a Wii U. But I'm still totally down with the fact that they're going to keep coming out and innovating new things for the 3DS, so I'm good with that.
I would have to agree on that. You know, when they release the virtual console, that will be a little more exciting for me. As of right now, the Breath of the Wild's really the only appeal for me, and I have a few road trips I'm going to be on, so it'll be nice to play that. Other than hardware, I mean, what do you think the real differences are between the DS systems, other than a big screen and new hardware? I mean, really, what's the greatest appeal about it? I mean, why wouldn't you spend less money and get more games in theory?
What do you mean between the Switch and the DS?
Yeah, like I was just thinking that, you know, you're breaking them down, you're dissecting them. Really, what's the difference besides a big screen and being able to hook up to your TV?
I think we're at a point where maybe we should know, but we don't. Some of the new innovation that they're going to come up with the Switch, and I'm surprised I'm advocating for it, but I am. I think that the stuff that we're going to see with the Switch now that they've got this released, or now that they're going to have it released, is going to be pretty interesting to see what changes they make and what sort of new ideas that they come up with. And I'm not somebody who has to be there on the front line whenever the new stuff immediately comes out, but I kind of want to be for the Switch. I kind of want to see what they're going to do with it that's going to make it different and differentiate it. Because you're right. Right now, I mean, there are some differences, but, you know, in the end, it's not. You're definitely sacrificing a lot of, you know, a lot of games that are already out for a release list that's not bad, but is definitely thinner and limits your ability to get your most out of your money there with only so many games that you could play. So I think it's a time will tell sort of thing, but I'm at least excited for what they're going to try to do, that they're always trying to innovate new things, you know? So we can go ahead and kind of roll off to the Heroes Podcast's social media plug. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Twitch. You can go to heroespodcast.com, and that's also where they'll find Screen Heroes and links to our YouTube channel for anybody that likes to watch stuff instead of just listening to it. Our shows are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Feedburner, and we got links to that in the show notes here. So drop us a review on iTunes, and we'll give you a shout-out on an episode here. We definitely appreciate you guys all listening in and tuning in. For Gamer Heroes, I'm David.
I am John, and I'll be Derek for a second. So,
and he's Derek for a second. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. We really appreciate it.